you all for coming. I'm going to get going on this as quickly as possible for the time delay. I'm amazed there's this many people here. So, and Basim Eid, who's been a joy to sit with for the last hour, talking about New Mexico and the area where his kids are in Jericho. It's really been a joy to chat with him. So I want to say that he's asked me to keep it brief, and I will. He's an award-winning journalist, and he's received awards for his work. He's traveled the globe to speak. He's a Jerusalem-based political analyst, human rights pioneer. He's passionate, and I know that's something we all have in common. We're all here at this time. We're passionate on the subject, and I think you'll hear that in him. He's an expert commentator on Arab and Palestinian affairs. And just so we can keep this time as brief as possible and enjoy as much of his talk, we want you to know that if you have questions, we have a format that we're going to take questions tonight. We're going to pass around index cards, and there are pens, and if you have questions, we will collect those questions, and that's how we're going to ask have Mr. Eid the questions at the end. So I just want to let you guys know that. So if you want cards, we're going to be passing these around. So without further ado, Mr. Eid, thank you so much. Chance to go to his hotel room with his luggage and freshen up, and I'm very sorry about that.
Thank you very much, Lance, and good evening to everybody. No doubt it's a very exceptional day for me since probably years ago. Couldn't believe it to stay at the Newark airport for hours. And all the time asking if there is any flight today to Dallas. So people hesitating, you know, if to say yes or no. But anyhow, we made it and we are here. Thank you very much. And I would love to go direct to the point here. And probably to start my speech from the Gaza Strip today. Because the Gaza Strip right now, it's not only an obstacle to the Israelis. Unfortunately, it became also a very big obstacle to the Palestinians. And also it became a very big obstacle to the Egyptians. So if you will look today to inside Gaza, we will find that there are four different parties are still functioning inside the Gaza Strip. Four different parties. The first party is the Egyptian government. The second party is the Palestinian Authority of the West Bank. The third party is the Hamas. And the fourth party is Israel. Now, what is the difference between the four different parties? If we will take the Palestinian Authority and the Egyptian government, they have one aim, and their main aim and goal, how to get rid from the Hamas organization. The Egyptians believe that the Hamas is a terrorist organization. The Egyptians believe, while they will impose more and more pressure on the Gaza Strip, probably this is the only way how to get rid from the Hamas organization. The Egyptians believe that the Hamas is still participating in the domestic terror fight, which is taking place in Sinai since 3 years ago. Now, the Palestinian Authority also believes that while the Egyptians will impose more and more pressure on Gaza, that it probably will pave the way to the Palestinian Authority to go back to Gaza and to recontrol Gaza as they used to do till 2007. And this is how the Egyptian government and the Palestinian Authority are very interesting in the destruction of the Gaza Strip rather than in the reconstruction of the Gaza Strip. Now, who is interesting really in the reconstruction of the Gaza Strip? No doubt that the Hamas is number one, but the number two is Israel. Imagine that Israel is interesting in the reconstruction of Gaza, while we, the Palestinians, much more interesting in the destruction of Gaza. Now, if the Hamas and Israel are interested in the reconstruction of Gaza, what is the conflict? The conflict is that the Hamas saying that the priority for the reconstruction in Gaza should have to go first to our tunnels and to our military capability. While Israel said, no way. The priority for the reconstruction in Gaza should have to go to the houses and to the other civil facilities which has been destroyed during the summer war in 2014. This is the conflict. And because of such kind of conflicts on the Gaza Strip, no reconstruction until today took place. Friends, if you will look to the last year, 2015, you will find that the Rafah passage, which is separating Gaza from Egypt, has been during the whole last year open for 20 days only. How many Palestinians succeed to cross it from Gaza to Egypt? 20,000 only during the whole last year. If we will take the 2011, how many Palestinians succeed to cross the Rafah passage from Gaza to Egypt? 460,000 people. 500,000 people. In 2011, to 20,000 only during the 2015. So if you will come today asking any ordinary Gazan guy who is really imposing the blockade on the Gaza Strip, everybody will say Egypt and no one will say Israel. Because with Israel, they used to survive very well. Since 2007, since the Hamas took over the Gaza Strip, until, let's say, probably till 3 years ago. But when the new president of Egypt has been elected, Abdel Fattah Sisi, Sisi put one of his strategies is how to get rid from the Hamas organization. And this is one of the reasons why the president of Egypt right now trying to impose more and more pressure on the Gaza Strip and on the Gazan people. So this is the situation right now in the Gaza Strip. Now, if we will move a little bit to the West Bank, I am a person who believes that if Mr. Netanyahu tomorrow morning will meet with President Abbas, probably the first question that Netanyahu is going to ask Abbas, whom you are representing, Mr. President? Palestinians in the Gaza Strip or Palestinians in the West Bank or Palestinians in the diaspora? In my opinion, President Abbas only representing his two sons and his wife. Which means that the majority of the Palestinian people right now almost lost the trust in their own leadership. If you will come today to any ordinary Palestinian by asking him, what are the most three priorities that you are seeking? he will say a job to survive, to secure the education system and the health system for my children. Nobody is talking about settlements. Nobody is talking about the wall. Nobody is talking about the foundation of the Palestinian state. Which means that the majority of the Palestinians today are people who are seeking dignity rather than identity. I don't have any problem with my identity. Wherever I am traveling around the world and saying a Palestinian, everybody recognizing me. But if I will say that I am from Abu Dhabi, people probably will ask some questions. Is it nearby Syria, far away from Turkey? Is it in Asia? Is it in Africa? Which is an existing country in the Gulf. And dignity can be approached only via an economic prosperity. And here exactly where we should have to blame the international community. Since the Oslo Agreement in 1993 until today, hundreds of billions of dollars has been spent on the Oslo Agreement and the characters of Oslo. But those hundreds of billions of dollars were unable to establish one job, neither in the West Bank nor in the Gaza Strip. And the big question is, why the international community kept a blind eye on the economic prosperity to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? And each country in the world, it tried to focus much more on initiatives, how to resume the negotiations, how to arrange conferences and meetings on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But no one wants to spend even one penny on the economic prosperity to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. This is one of the major problems, in my opinion, of the Palestinian people right now. Friends, if you will look to the Middle East map today and how the Islamic terror is growing and surrounding it, in my opinion, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is probably the most safe place right now in the Middle East. And that's reminding me in a very interesting article I read it just 2 months ago, written by a Saudi journalist. What was the title of the article? Israel disappeared from the Arab media scene. Very interesting. Because you know, when somebody gets a heart attack in Syria, we used to blame Israel. If somebody falling from the fourth floor in Saudi Arabia, we used to blame Israel. So Israel disappeared from the Arab media scene. Which means, in my opinion, that Israel looks like in a very good shape in the Middle East. And also looks like that the Arabs start realizing how Arabs are killing Arabs and Muslims are killing Muslims, and Israel has nothing to play in between. Sometimes I am wondering how many really Arab countries are interesting to see a Palestinian state. In my opinion, no one. And this is one of the major problems of the Palestinians. And if we will take the so-called Arab Peace Initiative, which is the owner of the initiative is the Saudis, I think that the Saudis can spend more and more time on their own initiative. I think that after the nuclear weapon agreement between Iran and the United States, probably the only positive thing which came out the nuclear weapon agreement, that Israel almost succeed to build bridges with the Gulf countries, and the first one is Saudi Arabia. And it's very clear. I think that Netanyahu, in each speech, when he talk about Iran, he is mentioning very clearly and loudly the name of Saudi Arabia. So everybody knows that Saudi Arabia has its own security arrangements with Israel. But in the meantime, the Saudis are not interested in the foundation of the Palestinian state. Because if they were interested in the Palestinian state, probably they will call Netanyahu. Mr. Netanyahu, let us go tomorrow and meet in New Mexico. We are going to open the Arab Peace Initiative to negotiate it. And we want to listen to your comments, and let us try to give a light, a little bit of light for such kind of initiative in term to move forward. But I think that the Saudis right now, the most important thing for them is how to get from the mud that they stuck in Yemen, and in the meantime, how to build the strong bridges of security against the Iranians with Israel. This is the priority of the Saudis, not the Palestinian state. But still, what makes me much more even upset, that some European countries like France, as an example, that they are trying to threaten Israel by saying that if Israel is not going to resume the negotiations with the Palestinians, we are going to recognize the Palestinian state. Excuse me, which state you are going to recognize? State which is in a lack of infrastructure of state. A state which is in a lack of the institutions of the state. A state which is in a lack of the economic sources of state. A state where is more than 52% of its population are living in refugee camps. This is not the state that I am dreaming for. This is not the state that I am looking for. I think state should have to be built before it's recognized. And this is also another historical mistake which start coming out from Europe. Instead to provide a direct help to the Palestinians to build the state, they prefer to recognize the state before its foundation. In my opinion, since 1948 until today, the Palestinian people has been used only by the Arab leaders, by the international organizations, by the Muslim leadership, and unfortunately after the Oslo, we start being used and sacrificed by our own Palestinian Authority. This is the tragedy of the Palestinians. Sometimes people asking, what is the real tragedy of the Palestinians? The 1948 war or the 1967 war? Then I am coming and say that there is something which is much more worse than the both of these wars, which is the creation of the Palestinian Authority. This is the real tragedy. I didn't see that the Palestinian Authority trying ever to take any care about their own people. Just 2 weeks ago, a Palestinian organization conducted a survey that the results of that survey, 96% of the Palestinian people believes that their leadership is corrupt. 96. What remains from the Palestinian people? 4%, which is the Palestinian Authority itself. This is unbelievable. Looks like that the world prefer to keep a blind eye on the whole horrible things which is taking place within the Palestinian people and within the Palestinian politics. The world is not interesting to raise these difficulties outside. The international community don't want to stand up and to blame the Palestinians that while you are divided, you couldn't be considered as a partner of peace. The international community don't want to stand up and to say that the two-state solution is not relevant anymore, and the only solution should have to be three-state solution for two people. Because the Hamas is fighting for his own Islamic Emirate in the Gaza Strip, Abbas is fighting for his own empire in the West Bank, and the State of Israel. This is the most relevant solution today to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And looks like that everybody is so satisfied with his own state. I don't believe ever that the Palestinian Authority will have any kind of unity with the Hamas. I don't believe in that, even at least in the coming 10 years. Both of them are functioning according to a foreign agenda, and no one of them is interesting to take into his consideration the interest of the Palestinian people. The Hamas want to run after Turkey, after Qatar, and after Iran, but not after the Palestinians. The Palestinians couldn't provide millions of dollars a month. But Qatar and Turkey, of course, they can. So while we, the Palestinians, are living in such kind of madness right now, I didn't really see any kind of hope, at least in the coming, let me say, few years. Now, the major problem is that while we, the Palestinians, all the time asking for an economic prosperity, is such gangsters and thugs, the so-called BDS movement, want to cause destruction, want to bring war, and want to increase violence between the Israelis and the Palestinians. I am a person who never ever believed that boycott can be a solution. It's the opposite. And the second question to the BDS, who authorized the BDS to speak on behalf of the Palestinians? I want to know. At least among the Palestinians, neither in the West Bank nor in the Gaza Strip, we don't have any member of the BDS, by the way. Because it is much more comfortable for these people to act in New York, in LA, in California, in France, in Berlin, but not in the refugee camps. I believe if one BDS tomorrow morning will appear in a Palestinian refugee camp and calling the Palestinians to boycott Israel, shoes his people are going to throw on them. Because what is the alternative? We want to survive. We have children also that we should have to take responsibility on them. What is the alternative? What will happen if Israel tomorrow will decide to boycott the Palestinians? Who is going to feed 3.5 million Palestinians in Gaza and in the West Bank? Who is going to provide us with hundreds of thousands of jobs to survive? The BDS can do that. The United States can do that. The UK can do that. I don't believe so. So unfortunately, looks like today that there are some organizations and movements and even some countries who became as a part of the conflict rather than a part of the solution. And this is the BDS. We are losing jobs. The BDS want to increase the unemployment among the Palestinians by saying under their slogan that for the two-state solution. I don't believe that the BDS believes in peace. I think that the BDS believes much more in war and destruction. I think that the BDS almost said it very clearly, that the state of Israel has no right to exist. So while people or any other people around the world will continue saying that Israel has no right to exist, this is also another problem to the Palestinians. Then how we can solve it? How we can put an end for it? And unfortunately, so many fingers today are playing in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And this is one of the major problems. That we are unable to have the courage and the charisma and to say, come on, only the Israelis and the Palestinians who can solve it. Let us sit and let us solve it. We don't have the courage. And sometimes I am looking to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which became a commercial conflict rather than it is a political one. Looks like that we are fighting for money. Looks like that we want more money. And this is why we are keeping it. And this is reminding me with one of very interesting statements which came out from Donald Trump. Trump once said, I am the one who can solve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict as a businessman, not as a politician. I think that we need a businessman. Because we almost saw the whole politicians in the world. From Bill Clinton to George Bush to Obama. What these people did to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, I think that they make it more complicated. Especially Mr. Obama, of course. So I don't think that we have any kind of trust, neither the Israelis nor the Palestinians, by the way. They have no trust in any coming in new American administration. But in the meantime, if anybody will stand up and asking me what is the alternative to Mahmoud Abbas, I will tell you Mahmoud Abbas. Because there is a lack of leadership. Sometimes people raising a kind of alternative to Abbas, somebody who called Muhammad Dahlan, who is living in Dubai right now because he was corrupt in Gaza and he made millions of money. But when the name of Muhammad Dahlan came out, then people start saying, listen, but he is also corrupt. What is my answer to the people? that I am preferring a young corrupt rather than an old corrupt. Because unfortunately, this is the only difference that I can make between the two corrupt people. That this is young and this is old. Probably from young people, there is a little bit of hope. So this is unfortunately, let's say, exactly what is really going on today among the Palestinians. I didn't see, as a Palestinian, that we are really ripe enough for a state. I didn't see really that we are even ripe enough for any coming negotiations with the Israelis. I don't think that the Palestinian leadership has any kind of interest to have any negotiations in the future with Israel. And this is how we are keeping rejecting everything. Because we are the experts in losing opportunities. Imagine from 1947 until today, how many opportunities almost has been presented to the Palestinians, but all of them has been rejected by the Palestinian leadership. So I am doubt if one day the Palestinian leadership will be interested in solving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Thank you very much. Thank you. State solution. I think that there are much more voices coming out from Israelis and from Palestinians towards the one state solution. People with the time start believes that there is no solution called two state. The solution is one state. Now, while we talk about one state, that means that we are starting the conflict from the beginning. Because that state, the one state, or the so-called one state, under which authority is going to be? Under the Israelis or under the Palestinians? Of course, the Palestinians will say, under ours, and the Israelis will continue saying, under ours. So we didn't solve it. So the one state solution, in my opinion, is not a solution. But in the meantime, if the Israeli-Palestinian conflict will continue, at least for the coming, let's say, 5-10 years, I don't believe in the two-state solution anymore. I don't believe in it. So in my opinion, the Israelis who should have to start thinking more, I believe, rather than the Palestinians, towards the solution. Because here you are talking about the future of a country and the future of nation. In my opinion, Israel today is paying a very huge price while they are continue building the settlements. I think that the money that Israel is spending today in the settlements is much more than the money Israel is spending on education, much more than the money that Israel is spending on health. I think that the Jewish people still deserve a better health care and a better education. But while the government continue focusing on the building of the settlements, I think that the Israeli people who are going to be the real losers from that. So I really hope that the Israelis will think twice and even much more about it. And it is much more possible today to reach a kind of a solution rather than in the coming 5 or 6 or 7 years.
The next question.
Yes, please.
Thank you. The next question is on the same subject. In terms of a viable alternative in leadership, is Marwan Barghouti. What are your thoughts on this person?
See, Marwan Barghouti is in the Israeli jail. Anybody here can probably release him tomorrow morning? Then I can give my opinion. I want to see him outside. We couldn't talk. It's not a joke to come and to talk about a leadership while it is in the Israeli jail. I didn't see any signs that the Israelis are interested to release him. But of course, probably Mahmoud Abbas is much more interesting than Netanyahu to continue seeing Marwan Barghouti in the Israeli prison. Because he is the only probably a real competent can be to Abbas. But unfortunately, I didn't see right now that any kind of a small political movement is trying to develop on the ground. And sometimes when I am talking with Palestinians and saying, listen, the solution, first of all, is how to create a Palestinian spring. I don't want to call it an Arab spring because the Arab spring almost failed. Let us change the vocabulary here and to talk about a Palestinian spring. But when I am asking people for a Palestinian spring, then people look to me by saying, if the Iranian spring succeed, the Palestinian spring will succeed. Which means that we are aware that we are living under a horrible dictatorship which has been formed by the Oslo Agreement, by the international community, not by the Palestinians, by the way. I think that this leadership has been imposed on the Palestinians through the Oslo Agreement. So why is such kind of a leadership, nobody right now can bring for any kind of change, I didn't see that X or Y or Z can be probably a good leader, because these good leaders couldn't take their places right now in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Thank you. The next question, goals. This question was, goals are jobs, education, health. What do you think of Carolina Glick's one state proposal?
Yeah, we talk about it. I don't want to repeat the one-state solution we talk about.
Okay. One question was, a lot of parents have students on college campuses. What do you think would be a good way to combat BDS on college campuses?
I think that the students should have to be a little bit aware about the whole lies that the BDS is spreading. Listen, in February, last February this year, February, March, April, I spent in the United States here for 2 months. And I visited over than 57 universities around all of the United States. A lot of demonstrations took place against me. Some leaflets published against me. In Chicago, they threatened to kill me. And the police came and involved and smuggled me from another place to another place from these thugs and gangsters. I think that the students should have to be a little bit aware about all of these fakes that the BDS is trying to spread out. On the other side, these people became a very, very violent people, by the way. And sometimes I'm asking, what is the American law, how the American law can deal with such kind of violence? When students at Chicago University standing up by threatening to kill me while the police is standing, I didn't see any measures that has been taken by the police. Listen, to threaten somebody to kill him, in my opinion, this is an offense all over the world. All over the world. I didn't see that the police really took any kind of action here. You couldn't believe last August last year, I went to Australia and to New Zealand. You couldn't believe that in New Zealand the BDS exists. In New Zealand we have 3 million people living so calm and so quiet with their 50 million sheep. What is the BDS is looking there? It's unbelievable. I was totally shocked to hear the BDS demonstrating against me at Auckland University in New Zealand. What do you want from these people? I think, first of all, I must have to say that the BDS has no effect at all right now on Israel. At all. I think the only one who is affected by the BDS, we are. We are, no doubt about it. I wrote about it. This is exactly the message that I am trying to spread out in the universities. I have a lot of examples. You couldn't believe, friends, that 95% of the Palestinian people never hear the word BDS. Can you believe it? And these people speaking on behalf of the Palestinians. It's a tragedy. It is a tragedy. I am working on a big research right now. You know, when I met people from the Soda Stream who lost their jobs because the Soda Stream moved from the West Bank to the south of Israel, when I met some of the workers, I asked them, do you know who is standing behind losing your job? They said, no. I said, the BDS. One of them started shouting by saying, oh my God, show me the BDS, I want to kill him. Come on. People has no idea what is the BDS. This is the, in my opinion, this is the tragedy of the Palestinian people, that is such kind of thugs and gangsters are representing us around the world. This is the tragedy. But the one who should have to be blamed on that is the corrupt Palestinian leadership. That Mahmoud Abbas is not standing one day by saying that these BDS are the major enemy to the Palestinians. That's exactly what I want to see and what I am expecting, at least from the Palestinian.
Thank you. The next question from
lot of the people in the audience said concerned about what's going on with the Christian population in the Middle East, in your opinion.
Yeah. Unfortunately, very bad things. And that's reminding me, let me much more talk about my side as a Palestinian. And to say that in the beginning of the 90s, the percent of the Christian people used to be around 20% from the total number of the Palestinians in Gaza and in the West Bank. Unfortunately, these days, we are talking about 1.7%. So, unfortunately, over than 18% almost left the territories. If we will look to Gaza, I remember that during the first Intifada, around 7,000 people used to be Christians living in Gaza. Today, according to the recent statistics, only 250 people are living in the Gaza Strip. And I'm quite sure that these people try to put more and more efforts to leave the Gaza Strip as soon as possible. Because Gaza is not a safe place, in my opinion. Not, if it is not safe to the Muslims, it is not safe to the Christians. And this is how we saw in the past, probably 8 years, how the Hamas succeeded to impose 3 different wars on the Gaza Strip. So the Christians, in my opinion, has a big problem right now. But unfortunately, I didn't see any kind of efforts from the international community to stop such abuses, which is going directly against the Christians in the Middle East.
The next question is, where does it...
And the last, please.
Okay, how about two more? But I get it, the time. This one was, where does Hezbollah fit into all this?
Well, I know, Hezbollah is far away from the whole Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Hezbollah is like any other terrorist organization like the Hamas, trying, you know, to gain power and money on behalf of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Again and again, the Palestinians are going to be used by such terrorist organization called Hezbollah. But on the other side, by the way, I think that Hezbollah almost lost its popularity around the world. There is no Arabs and no Muslims anymore believes in Hezbollah after the intervention of Hezbollah in Syria and after the participation of Hezbollah by killing the Syrian civilians over there. Yeah.
So, tell me your request, because I know how...
Yes, I really would love to thank you so much. It was very interesting. I wish that I can came earlier, but the only one who must have to be blamed here is the American Airlines. Thank you, and good evening to everybody. Thank you.